here today. We had an incredible Easter weekend. I hope you had a good Easter weekend. We did. We saw probably 700 to 800 people come through here easy for our Saturday Easter egg hunt that we do for the community. That was awesome. And then, like I said, over 260 people, probably 275-ish, here this last week on both of our services. So God is good. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles today, you can go ahead and open to Mark chapter 2, I believe. Let me make sure. Yep, Mark chapter 2. We are going to begin and start a new series here. If you are visiting or new, my name is Pastor Tom, and I have the privilege of really serving alongside every other person in this room. We are one. And this is us. So it may be that there is some sort of TV show on, and I guess to some extent, I don't know. I don't know copyright or what. Oh, that's us. 808. Where's my wife? Oh, she already saw it. Okay. Boy, that's small. Okay. Boy, there we go. That's us. One of mine. One of mine. See, you think maybe it's just you, right? Like, you see your number and you're like, oh, you know, hey, it's all of us. It's all of us. So, I really believe that as we kind of came through this Easter weekend, God was really pushing on my heart to kind of move up a series that I already had planned this week, this year. And the way I really try and prepare is spending time in prayer and saying, God, what is it that you want to pour out on us this year? And that word kind of continued to keep coming. Anomaly. An anomaly that this year would be a deviation from the norm, that it wouldn't be just the same old, that it wouldn't be a year that we just forget, but it'd be a year that there would be huge and distinct change throughout and in our lives. And I believe that being a part of the body of Christ, Not necessarily just a church, but the body of Christ, it's important to know where we're going. We are a powerful force when we all run in the same direction. When we all run in different direction, that's chaos. But when we all run in the same direction, that's a movement. And I really believe that that's what Jesus came for. Not a physical building called the church, but a movement of people called the church. And this morning I'm excited to look at His Word and to see and explore kind of this new idea of this is us. As you look around, I don't think we have any identical twins in here. Even the boys downstairs are not identical. As you look around, you see you are identical. Okay. This is a collection of very different people. Not one will look the same, sound the same, be the same. Yet, collectively, we are one. We are a part of His body. And during this series, I'm really excited to look at this is us. This is what we are. This is what we're about. And I'm excited. I just believe God has great plans in store. As we look to Him, Mark chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 1. I've spoke concerning this passage before, but I'm going to try and give it a little bit of a different angle. Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says this. It's hard to believe that at this time I had already preached a full message and was beginning to almost be done with a second. Isn't that incredible? Well, I wasn't. Not yet. We hadn't even started yet. Yeah, we hadn't even started yet. Some people were getting really excited. Like, you're almost done? No. Yes, almost done. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that He had come home. Look at your neighbor. Said He went home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, lowered the mat, and the paralyzed man was laying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for your word. I pray that God, as we examine, as we look at this passage of Scripture here, that you'd enlighten our hearts. God, you have a purpose for us individually, corporately, to be unified in you, and that we would fulfill the mission that you've called us to. And Father, I just thank you for that. I just pray that you'd help us hear your voice today, that you would speak, transform, mold, change, shape us here today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have you ever taken somebody home who did not know the way? So, before, when I was youth pastor downstate in Flint, Michigan, I used to drive a van. Every Wednesday night, I'd go out and pick up about 20 people in a 17-passenger van. Sorry, it was wrong of me. And there were moments and times where we'd just pick kids up. No, like, parental consent, you can go. It was like, "Hey, my friend's coming. All right, come on. Get in." Well, temporary. We always tried to bring them back. Hey, get on the bus. And church van's leaving. And there were times when I would drop off the person who brought the friend, and then I'd turn to them and say, "Okay, now, where do you live?" And there were times when they'd look at me and say, "I don't know." And I said, what do you mean you don't know where you live?" "Well, I know where I live, but I don't know how to get there." I thought, oh my goodness. And that's when you know if you're walking by the Spirit or not, because you just start praying. Okay, and you ask more questions. All right, you know where you live. Do you live around anything that maybe would be something that we would recognize? Do you live by this school or this restaurant or by this landmark? And often they would say to me, "Well, if you can get me here, then I know how to get home." Oftentimes it was getting them back to their school, which was usually 20 to 30 minutes out of the way. So I drive 20 to 30 minutes out of the way to get back to their school. "Oh, okay, now I know." And it was like maybe 4 or 5 blocks away from their friend, where I dropped off their friend. So half hour out, half hour back. Throughout this process, oftentimes, and in this process, oftentimes I thought, I wonder if that's kind of like us. Do we really know our way home? Here at Lifehouse, our mission statement is to help people find and follow Jesus. And can I tell us this, that in order for us to help people find Jesus, we must first know where he is. That we'll never be able to help people find something if we don't know where that something is. This is going to date me, but when I was elementary school, junior high, they used to have these books called "Where's Waldo?" Anybody remember that? Anybody? The guy with the red stuff, the red and white, looked like a candy cane. And you'd be looking with a friend, and you'd be like, "Oh, found him!" And it was like a race to see who could find him. And then when you said it too early and you had not quite found them, but you didn't think they'd call you on it, and you'd be like, found them. They'd be like, no, show me. You'd be like, oh, he's over there in this area. You know, it's impossible for us to show somebody or help somebody find somebody if we don't know first where they are or who they are. And this morning, I really want us to look at this aspect of this is us, that for my heart's cry and my heart's desire, and I think I had Eric come up a few months ago, months ago, and had him sit and he'd tell us about how this and how that, right? Remember? Right? The 2 minutes? So my heart's desire is that each and every one of us, not just me, but each and every one of us would be able to help people find Jesus. Do you know that God's heart for you is that you would be one who would be able to help people find Him? That's His heart. I got to tell you, when it comes to helping people find Jesus, I really want to be like these four guys in this passage here in Mark. That we would be committed to it because we believe in it. That it's Jesus that people need. If we really believe that Jesus was everything that people needed, would we not really be trying to help them find Him? Really be helping Him, helping them, helping her find Jesus? Oftentimes when I see kids roaming around aimlessly, sometimes they're mine, but you know what I'll often do is I'll take them by the hand and say, hey, let's go find your mom or your dad. Let's go find them. I know what they look like. I have a general vicinity of where I think they are. Let's go find them. And can I tell you the truth? When it comes to who we are, this is us, this being us here at Lifehouse, I pray that we're the kind of people who really take people by the hand and help people find Jesus. Can I tell you that if we're not, we're missing maybe the greatest call that God has ever called us to? The reason why Jesus came? That none would perish, but that all would come to repentance? Statistically, it's a little over 90% of believers, followers of Jesus, will never help somebody find Jesus. 90%. 90%. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but really it's our call. It's our mission. Your call and your mission to follow Jesus is not to just come into a building and sit, sing a couple songs and sit down. It's relationship. It's relationship with Jesus. And as we continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus, it's helping people find Jesus. Do we still believe that He is the Savior of the world? Do we still believe that only He has paid the penalty of sin? That only in Him do we have new life? That only through Him are we born again? Do we really believe that? And if we believe that, then why are we not trying to help people know Him, find Him? Pastor, I'm busy. Hey, I get it. There's 8 of us in the house. Now, Ed and Jody, you guys are in that next tier, right? You're in that next tier. But I get it. Life is busy. But if there's priority in life, wouldn't eternity be at the top of the list? Be praying this week for Jerry Mercer and his family. His brother Stan passed away this week. And the truth is this, life is just fragile. We just never know. But not only do we never know for us, we never know for somebody else. You know, the truth is this, I never know if I see Jake here this week. I never know if we're going to see each other again. Oh, Pastor, you're getting into fear. No, reality. Just real, honest. Now, the hope is we'll see each other many times. But the truth is, you never know when the last time you'll see somebody is. Oh, well, I just don't want to pressure them, Pastor. Okay, don't. Love them. But if you love them, then you'll tell them. Well, I can't make them. You're right, 100%. Can't make anything happen. But we can declare, we can share. We can talk about. My heart is when it comes to This Is Us, that we would be not just a place that says we want to help people find and follow Jesus, but we are people helping people find and follow Jesus. I want us to see just a couple things this morning found here within this passage that I believe is important for us, each and every one of us. That as we commit ourselves to the Lord, we're committing ourselves to His work. Can I tell you that when I was about 13 years ago, when I was all googly-eyed for this lady who was sitting over here, but had to go down because we get kids wild. Nobody told me that my commitment, my relationship with her was going to mean dishes. Nobody told me that my relationship and my commitment to her was going to mean laundry. I mean, does anybody feel bad for me yet? Why? Because we understand that with relationship comes responsibility. But why then would we think our relationship with God would be any different? Well, no, it's just receive. No, it's receive and be. It's receive and walk in. It's find and follow. So God has called us to Himself, and in, and as we find ourselves in Him, we have purpose, we have mission, there is calling that we are to live in and walk in. And this morning, I just want us to see a couple things in order for us to know the way home. First is kind of evident. It's clear here by the actions of these four men that the first thing that we must do in order to know the way home is, first, we have to know the destination. We have to know the destination. Can I tell you this? That it's very, very hard to take somebody where you've never been. I've tried. Hey, have you ever been here? You know what? No, but I think I know. Famous last words. You know, I've never been there, but I think I know. God's desire for us is that we would help people find Him. But in order to help people find Jesus, we must first be found in Jesus. You see, these men here, they bring this paralyzed man to Jesus. Why? Because they knew where to find Him. He came home. They knew where to find Him. For us, I wonder, when it comes to destination, do we know our way home? I've been asked before, especially when I first moved here to Cadillac, people would ask me, how do I get here? Or how do I get there? And I'd just say, your guess is as good as mine. Well, I'm looking to go this way. You would think with the my nose, my wife said something about a nose and you should have better directional sense, but I don't know north, south, east, west. I have no clue. Somebody's like, well, is that north or south? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. And the truth is this, that if we don't know where the destination is, it's going to be impossible for us to really bring people to it. But if we know the destination, it's possible. If we know, how do we help people find Jesus? First, we have to know where and what He is. I think that some of our hindrance, not all, but some. See, each and every one of us have been lost. Now, that's just not on these roads, but that's in life. At best, when you don't know where you're going, you don't know the destination, you're wandering. Right? I've heard that before. I'm never lost. Exploring. And it's one of those things that, for us, I wonder, do we know the destination? You know, my hope today is that not all of us in here know the destination. How dare you? My hope is that this is still a place where people who don't know Jesus can come. We didn't have on the front of the door as you walked in only people who love and follow Jesus. Our mission statement isn't just for people who love and follow. It's for everyone. I'm so glad that Jesus came for all. That He gave Himself for all. And my question to us is this. Do we know the destination? And if we do, then who are we helping find? Jesus. Who are we taking by the hand and saying, hey, because I agree with what Eric said a few months ago. It starts with relationship. Yes. But if relationship never gets to the destination, it was an acquaintance that you really didn't care about. Because if we really cared about people, we would care about their eternities more than their temporary. Well, what if they get mad at me? Well, what if they don't? What if they're eternally separated from God? What should be the greater push for us? Well, I don't want to make anybody angry. What if they could have? You know, honestly, my scariest moment in life, standing before God when He plays back all the things in my life, aren't my mistakes. It's my misses. It's my times when I was standing in a situation and could have helped somebody find Jesus, and I just thought, maybe this isn't the right time. Now, discernment's important. Please hear me out. But I'd rather have an opportunity and try than have a regret because I did not try. I'd rather have somebody reject the gospel than never understand the gospel. You see, because at that moment, the onus is on them. How can they believe if they've not heard? That's us. That's our calling. To proclaim the good news of who Jesus is. If we know the destination, why are we keeping it from people? Sometimes I just think we come and we gather just for us. This is our thing. Man, Pastor, I'm glad 260, 270 didn't show up today, because where would I have sat? Pastor, you know this is my spot. Now, can I say that this is not, that I have not found that here as much as downstate? I mean, there were people, you might as well put a plaque on their seat, because that was their seat. And they got there early to claim it. You know, my hope is that we would be a people that if people would start coming into this place and there weren't enough seats, my wife has a story. And I mean, I'm wearing a sweatshirt today, one, because it feels good. It's like being snuggled by a cloud right now. I mean, I just can't even explain it. But one of my Pastor Jim from the Freedom Center, who has been up here and they've served up here and helped us, he sometimes preaches in a sweatshirt, and I think, man, that's, you can do it. I'll do it. My wife remembers a time when they were in a little building like this, where it got so full that the students had to sit on the floor in the front. People stood in the back and all around the wall. And now they got this multi-million dollar building and thousands of people that come through there every week. But my wife can remember that beginning of that. When it wasn't even, you didn't even have to ask somebody, man, I'll sit on the floor. Why? Because That means somebody else can sit and hear about Jesus. Because I'm here to be a part of the body, but I'm not here just for me. I'm here for every single person that's here as well. And if it's about me losing some of my comfort so somebody else can feel comfortable in that home, I'll do that. If we know the destination and we're not sharing it, we're really trying to keep a secret. Can I tell you that Jesus and the gospel is not something to be kept a secret? Something to proclaim? The truth is this, Jesus says that if you're ashamed of me in this sinful generation, then when we stand before him, you'll be ashamed of us. You know, I do not want to be caught there in that moment when him say, why were you ashamed of me? I want him to look at me and say, well done. Not because I was perfect, but because I wasn't ashamed and because I was bold and because I tried to really do what he called me to. I want to be like these men who say, we know what you need, man. Your legs aren't working. You've been begging. Can I tell you that there's a guy who's been healing people? And can we just take you there? Well, you're going to have to take me because I can't walk. Hey, that's all right. We got four. We'll get a corner. And they brought him to Jesus. Do we really believe that Jesus is all that we need? Who have we brought to Jesus? Well, I've been waiting. I don't think these men waited. They didn't say, well, you know what? The crowd's a little big today. We'll go tomorrow. Well, can I tell you the crowd? Hey, man, I know we wanted to bring you to Jesus, but ain't nowhere to sit. In fact, I don't even think we can get in the building. You know, when I read this story, I kind of laugh and I figure, like, this would be, if I'm in this story, I own the house, right? I think, oh, that's pretty silly. Why would you think that? Because it would be my roof that they'd be cutting, right? You know, because somebody had a hole in their roof that was big enough to fit a man and a mat in. You know, this is what they said. They didn't allow excuses. Man, can I tell you that any time when we try and help people find Jesus, there'll always be a reason not to. Because there's an enemy who always wants to put doubt. There's an enemy who always wants to keep somebody else from experiencing and knowing new life in Jesus. We know the destination. Who are we bringing? Who are we bringing? Can I tell you that I believe God has called us as his people to make heaven crowded. It's big. Can handle it. Oh, well, but what if I lose my house? No, I don't think that's how it works. It's not like something here or some property here where we're like, oh, we only got so much room. Man, there's enough room. Can I tell you that I pray that we would be a people who not only know the destination, but know that we're called to help people get there? And the destination is Jesus. I am not the destination. You are not the destination. The destination is Jesus, new life in Christ. And all, hopefully many of us in here have found that. Have walked that road, have been brought. Somebody helped you along the way to find Jesus. Somebody enabled it and grabbed a hand and really, or prayed and really interceded and stood on your in your behalf and really tried to bring and help you find Jesus. My question to us is this: who are we trying to help find Jesus? My prayer is that this year we would know what it's like to help lead people to Jesus. That we would know what it's like to be one of these four men. Okay. That doesn't mean like to know what it's like to be a man, but you know what I mean. To know what it's like to bring somebody to Jesus and to see them healed and see them restored and see their sins forgiven. What happened here was not just a lame man walked. A dead man rose again. What happened here was not somebody who couldn't walk finally got up and began to walk. A person who was dead and far and separated eternally from God came to know and was forgiven of his sins by Jesus. And new life, eternal life, was changed that day for this man. Why? Because of some people who said, you know what, I'll have faith. This brings me to my next point here. For us to help people find their way home, not only do we have to know the destination, but we have to have the courage and faith to be able to declare the way. Be able to declare the way. Noah, that's the next one. They didn't allow situations. They didn't allow the circumstances. They didn't allow the hindrance to keep them from getting this man to Jesus. I wonder for us today, I don't think there's anyone deaf in here. I don't think there's anyone in here who's mute. So all of us have the ability to speak, have the ability to hear. And here is the truth when it comes down to it. If God has given us a mouth to speak, what are we using it for? Anybody in here good at complaining? Like if it was a sport, you'd be really good? Can I tell you today that what God gave you the ability to speak was not just to complain? Can I tell you today that the ability that God has given you is more to declare who He is than it is to declare about your or whine about your needs? But I wonder for us, if we really thought about it, how much of our words declare who He is or whine about our needs? I'm really good at whining. I'm a firstborn with brothers. Not an only child, but I mean firstborn with brothers down the line. I've got this innate ability to think about me over anyone else. I'm really good at complaining. Can I tell you though that when we are set free from sin, when we are made new in Christ, that no longer is it that the sinful, the flesh should rule, but that the Spirit would rule? Can I tell you that I'm still a work in progress? God's not called us to be perfect. Jesus was perfect. But He has called us to move forward, to make progress. Make progress. That today, if we're still, and it was funny, one of the boys just kept crying. I just said, "Why are you crying so much?" And literally, his words, "I'm just whining." And I was like, "I know. Stop." I was like, "Why are you whining?" "Because I'm just not happy." Why? And again, it's the selfish motivated thing. But the fact that he was just honest about it, right? "I'm just whining. I'm not crying, I'm just whining." Like, what? Throws you as a parent, right? Like you're ready for something else, and that's the truth, and it's like, "Oh, what?" And here is the truth that God has, because of sin, because of our separation from God due to sin, God sent His Son to be the penalty, to pay the price of sin for you and for me. Why do I think over 90% of people who say they love Jesus never help people find Jesus? because they always think they don't know enough. They don't know the right words to say. They don't know the right verse to use. They don't know this. They don't know that. Can I just tell you that if we always waited for the perfect moment, I don't think we'd ever see it. Can I tell you that the perfect moment is any opportunity that you have? That's the perfect moment. If you have an opportunity, it's a perfect moment. Well, good morning. Well, isn't it a good morning? I tell you what, I was there and begin to tell about what Jesus has done for you. Oh, well, then they won't talk to me anymore. I would rather be the person they don't talk to because I talk about Jesus too much than the person they all talk to because I never tell them about Jesus. Miss Terry, would you come? I really desire for this aspect of who we are, this is us, this aspect of helping people find Jesus to be more than a tagline or a mission statement, but a purpose that we walk. A purpose that we walk out and that we really live in. That we not only understand what God has called us to, but we can begin to move in it. Pastor, how do I declare? How do I declare? How do I declare and help people find Jesus? One, you can start with just telling them about your own story, your own testimony. What has God done for you? I don't know. Well, there's where we start. Figuring out what He's done for you. See, maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know what, Pastor, if I'm being honest, somebody asked me, what has God done for me? I don't even know. I mean, I'm here because I just thought this is what we're supposed to do. Can I tell you that there's more to being here than just what you're supposed to do? There is life, there is a fullness, there is a joy. And when you're filled, it cannot be contained. We were just down, speaking of Pastor Jim wearing a sweatshirt, we were just down at the Freedom Center for Easter. They had a Thursday night service. Because they knew how many people would probably come through that place. So we went Thursday night. We were there maybe 10, 15 minutes, and our name is up on the screen to come get kids. I mean, literally 10 minutes. I took a picture and then sent it to Pastor Jim. I was like, really? 10 minutes? And afterwards, I just wanted to go give him a hug and tell him hi. And I gave him a hug, and he was like, oh, it's great to see you. Hey, I got to show you. I'm a granddad now. Phone right out. Showed me his grandson. I thought, man, that's good news. That's good news. Can I tell you that there's better news that we have in Christ? There's better news that we have in Jesus? Pastor, you don't love the kids. No, I love the kids. But Christ is better news. Because it's not just earthly birth. It's a supernatural birth. It's not just a temporary physical newness. It's an eternal newness that we have in Christ. Pastor, how do I even bring that up? Whatever is important to you, you'll talk about. Trust me, I'm around you a lot. I know what's important to you. Whatever is important to you, you will talk about. Pastor, can I just tell you that this was pretty incredible here last week, the two services? You know, in fact, I even was at work talking with somebody and I shared with them, hey, we had two services this Sunday. First time we've done that in a long time. People came to know Jesus. Can I ask you what's important to you? I ask you rhetorically because the truth is I already know what's important to you. But what's important to you, you pour time in, you pour energy into. See, my heart is not for us to build a bigger building. My heart is that we would have so many people in here because we know that Jesus loves us all. That we'd have teenagers upset because they got to sit on the floor. Or young people upset because we got to stand by the wall. Man, can I tell you that there's no greater joy than heaven becoming more crowded? It says all of heaven rejoices. When? Not just when we who love Jesus come and gather, but when one sinner comes to know and receive the grace of God. Can I tell you that we need to be a people who rejoice over that? More than anything else. And not just that we would cheer or rejoice, but that we would be a part of that. God has called us to be a part of it. That as I live my life in my neighborhood and I know my neighbor who's far from Jesus, that I begin to have relationship, begin to invest time and energy, and to one day be able to help him. Come on, we're going to do this together. Help him find. Yeah, this is going to be neat. Somebody take a picture. Help him find Jesus. Right? That I take him by the hand. Man, you're not in it alone. I'm going to walk right here with you. Man, God's mercy is good. Can I just tell you what he's done for me? Man, God's word declares in Romans 3 that we've all sinned. Every single one of us have sinned. And we've fallen short. We're going to keep going. And we've fallen short of the glory of God. But not only have we sinned, but we all have fallen short of the glory of God, which means I still sin sometimes. I mess up sometimes. Because it's not my perfection, it's His. It's not by my performance. It's because I know Jesus. That I would share with Him. That just because we've sinned, that's not the end of the story. But God, in His great love for us, has sent His Son to pay the penalty of our sin. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that there's good news. That there's good news today that God has, and God's word declares that God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's good news today. That's good news today for you and for me and for everyone else. That while we were still sinners, He died for us. And that's not the end of it. God's word declares that if we would declare with our mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, that we would be saved. This is good news for us. Well, Pastor, I think I might know the destination. And yeah, I have the ability to speak and declare. Can I ask us then, will we? Will we? My heart is this, that we would be a people who not only our mission statement is to help people find and follow Jesus, but we would be helping people find and follow Jesus. Well, who, Pastor? Would you pray? Say, God, open my eyes, people around me, that I wouldn't just be in such a hurry. That I just wouldn't have these blinders on my eyes, that I'm only seeing what I need to see, but nothing else around me. Would we be a people who help people find Jesus? Would you stand with me this morning? I'm so grateful today that there were people in my life who took my hand and said, come. I want to show you something. Come, I want to help you find something. that there were people in my life that loved me enough not to wait for me to be ready. Because I don't know if I would have been ready. But they didn't wait. They began to pray. They began to speak things over me. They began to talk with me. Can we be that people? Can we be like these four guys who say, hey, you're in need, and I know the answer. And we all take a corner and we just lift these people and take them to where Jesus is. And can I tell you today that Jesus is here because we've gathered, but He's not just here. That it's not just about bringing people to church, it's about bringing God to them. That God's promise is that He lives within, that His Spirit dwells within, that you don't have to wait till Sunday morning. But you can begin to engage in those conversations. My hope is that this Friday, this place will be packed out with young people. Not to just sing and dance and have a great time, but that somebody would be here who doesn't know Jesus. And we're not going to tell them, come Sunday and we're going to tell you about Jesus. No, we're going to tell them about Jesus and we're going to say, now respond. And I'm praying already. I'm going to ask you to start praying. Not that this church would get bigger, but that heaven would get more bigger. That heaven would get crowded. Man, I got to tell you, it's funner in a crowd. My prayer is that we would be people who help people find Jesus. Would you commit that to your heart and into His hands today? That God, I need your help. But I'm willing. Truth is this, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I got it. Good. Well, that's great, but if you're here today and you're like, I'm not sure if I got it. Can I tell you that He's able? Can I tell you that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us? And He's more than able to give you words of wisdom, to lead conversation, to empower you. He's more than able. Let's be those people who help people find Jesus. Father, today we thank You, for You are good.